All right. Come stand up for a moment. And you might want to take off your watch or anything that will distract you in your pockets or anything. Just stand for a moment and notice as you stand whether you have a preference to turn. If you were to turn to look over your shoulder, whether it'd be easier for you to turn to look to the right or to the left?
If I was going to turn?
Yeah, if you were just going to turn. Just notice if you had a preference, which way is more immediately available? And just sense the way that you have that built-in sense of yourself. In other words, it has something to do with the way that you perceive yourself in space. And you take a moment and turn in the direction that's easy for you and notice. You don't have to walk around. Just keep your feet planted if you want to, but just have a sense of just turning into the direction that's easy. Just the subtle first movements of it, and notice how much of yourself participates easily and with availability in the movement. And then if you start to take the movement, and then compare now that movement to the movement going in the other direction just for a moment. Notice the difference in the sense of cohesiveness, the coherence, how congruous the movement is, how simple, where's the first moment that you can detect that there's a sense of effort, that you might have to use a little bit more force within yourself to go further. Your will might, see, it comes in pieces, doesn't it? Look and will in that way. Now you go the other way and you see, not pieces, everything just flows together. But if you go the other way, it has the sense of being in pieces, doesn't it? Okay? Now, for our thinking, Feldenkrais described the potent posture as the freedom to move in any direction without hesitation or preparation. He said, biologically, that's correct for all organisms. That you to be organized in such a way that you don't have to prepare yourself, that any direction is available to you.
What do you call it?
He called it the potent posture.
Okay.
Yeah, we can go for long distances with that. We can take that into uncertainty principles and all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, because Moshe had a capacity to take very, very abstract ideas and bring them down into very, very concrete activities that people could experience for themselves. Now, I make a distinction, I make a corollary to that. The potent self is the ability to move in any direction without preparation or hesitation, dependent upon the way that you get support from the surface you're on, because we're in gravity, and so obviously, as you made those turns, you were dependent upon the surface you were on to provide the support. So every movement that we make has to have some relationship to the surface we're on. There's got to be equal and opposite forces, or there's got to be counterbalancing forces. And so a lot of what we study in this work is how we relate to the surface we're on. And another thing that we do, and I'm going to start the lesson started, but another thing that we look at is that babies come to know themselves, the dimensions of themselves, by pressing against the floor. That's how they learn where their back is. They randomly press against the floor. Eventually, those random pressings become pathways for action that get them where they want to go. Neurological pathways are practiced, rehearsed movements. They start randomly, and then they begin to shift those movements more and more specifically by pressing against the floor because it takes them where they want to go. And before long, that becomes crawling. It becomes lifting their center of mass away from the ground and eventually becomes walking. Right? Okay, so come and lie on your right side on the floor for a moment. And lie with your right arm long. Rest your head on your arm. Place your left knee on the floor in front of your right knee. Place your left hand on the floor in front of you so that you can rest your left elbow on your ribs. That's it. So you're resting somewhat comfortably. And so we're going to discover something. So Moshe said that the potent self has the ability to move in any direction without hesitation or preparation. Just for a moment, discover. Begin to lift your left knee and discover whether lifting your knee is immediately available or not. Or find out whether you have to make an effort, whether you have to engage in making an effort to make the movement. And when you lift your left knee, notice when you lift your knee, whether or not that includes lifting your foot or not. So you just notice, because there's a distinction between lifting your knee and lifting your foot and your knee. Okay, so notice. And the moment you lift, what happens to your breath? Find out if there's a moment in which you minutely hold your breath before you start the movement. Okay, just notice. Okay? And leave that sense of what it was like for you to lift in the first place. And we'll watch and we'll evolve this lesson over time. Now, for a moment, close your eyes and listen very carefully to your right hand. And as you listen to your right hand, which parts of your hand are most prominent? Which finger is the most prominent? Are you most attentive to, most aware of? Are they all equally represented? Or do some fingers and your thumb have more representation? Is there more representation? In other words, more of a sense of the palm of your hand or the back of your hand? Which of yourself seems to be more clearly available to you? Which finger would you bring immediately to touch the tip of your thumb? If you were to bring one of your fingers to your thumb, which finger would it be that would be the most available? Are they all equally available, or is one dominant? Would it come first? So make a small movement of bringing the finger toward the thumb, and the moment that you sense the finger beginning to touch, the very moment that it touches, separate your thumb and your finger. So you come and you pay close attention to bringing the finger and your thumb together in the minutest way, quietly, gently, so that the moment that you can sense, and what's the earliest moment that you can detect contact? And where do you touch? Each time you make the movement, will you please make the movement in such a way that your finger and your thumb come together in a slightly different place? And listen very carefully how different each of those touches is. When you touch in this part of your finger as opposed to that part of your finger, how does it change the sensation in the way that your arm rests on the floor? People that lose fine motor control simply, in many cases, aren't given the opportunity to refine the pathways again. Now, find another finger. Which would be the next finger that you would choose to bring your thumb to your thumb and your finger? Bring your thumb and your finger together and apart. Make the movement a few times. Pick a different finger. Each time you touch the first finger, then the second finger, and then when you touch different points on your thumb, and then touch the third finger. The tip of the third finger, which finger will it be? And which finger is it that you leave out? Which finger is last in the way that you represent bringing all of your fingers together? Make several different touches, but each time you touch only to the degree that you can sense the first moment of touching, and then you move your fingers apart, your finger and your thumb apart. Now include the last finger, please. Take a moment and touch a couple times. And then touch the little finger and the middle finger with your thumb. Touch the middle finger and the little finger with your thumb, all at the same time. Middle finger and the little finger at the same time. But find out which finger comes to touch in contact with your thumb first. Do they touch at the same time? Or do they come to touch at different times? And which finger comes first? Is it the middle finger or the little finger that comes to your thumb? It's not the fourth finger, just the middle and the little together with your thumb. And bring them together in such a way that you can sense bringing them together simultaneously. Find if you can bring the little finger and your thumb to touch at exactly the same moment and have them leave at exactly the same moment. So that you become more and more sensitive to the pressure and to when one finger leaves, when the one finger comes, which finger arrives first? Bring your ring finger and your index finger to your thumb. Which finger got there first? Which finger was last? Ring finger and index finger. And again, make it so that this movement is more or less simultaneous. It means that you have the sensitivity to notice where you are in space, and you gradually bring your hand, your thumb, and your fingers together in such a way that you can sense that the pressure comes almost exactly the same moment. How refined a movement is this? What kind of dexterity does it take to have to make this movement? Dexterity can be defined in several different ways. This is a dexterous movement. Now bring your little finger and index finger together with your thumb. Notice as you're bringing your thumb and your fingers together, do you tend to hold your breath at the moment that they touch, or is your breath easy and available? Now bring the tips of all fingers together with your thumb. And yet again, in such a way as if to have all four fingertips touch at precisely the same moment the tip of your thumb. Open and close your hands several times, gently, bringing the fingertips together and your thumb, opening and closing, and noticing if there's a tendency as you open and close your thumb, if it relates at all to the coming and going of your breath. Go slowly, gently, continually having the sensitivity to bring your fingertips together in such a way that you can sense the pattern of your fingers coming together with your thumb. Which finger arrives first? Which finger leaves first? Which is the last to arrive? Which is the first to arrive? Which is the last to leave? Becoming more and more sensitive to what you can sense using your senses. Now keep this movement, this sensitivity going with your fingertips as you begin to move your left shoulder a little bit forward and a little bit backwards, so that you open your hand and you bring your fingertips and your thumb together and apart, continuously, gently, softly. And as you make this movement, you roll your shoulder a little forward and a little back. It means your left shoulder begins to roll. And you begin to notice if there's a pattern. What early can you detect if there's a pattern? When do you open your hand? When do you move your shoulder back? When do you open your hand? When do you move your shoulder forward? What's the relationship in how you've tied this movement? And continue to make the movement several times, keeping the hand still, but change it so that if your shoulder is going back when you open your hand, change it so that you move your shoulder forward as you open your hand. Change the timing slightly. And notice, if the movement of your hand stopped, if for a moment you lost the continual movement in your hand. So the hand is going to become your metronome for the movement. You're going to gradually, as you make these movements, continually open and close your hand and maintain the sensitivity of noticing your fingertips coming together as you make these movements. Continue the movement. And roll your shoulder back. Your hand coming and going, fingertips coming together and apart. Taking your shoulder back. And as your shoulder comes back, you begin to notice in what direction is your head rolling. How does your head roll with the movement of your shoulder? Is your head moving in the direction that your shoulder is moving? Or is it different? In what direction is it moving? Begin to pay attention to subtle, subtle things. Make the movement a few times, gently. Continue the movement with your fingers and with your hand. And now for a moment, as your shoulder rolls back, please roll your head forward. As your shoulder rolls forward, please roll your head back. What happened to your hand? As soon as you became occupied with one activity and you had to change your intention, what happened with your hand? Roll your shoulder back and your head back. Continue to make the movement of rolling your shoulder back and your head back. And very gradually begin to roll your shoulder back and your head back until you can sense a change in your ribs in such a way that you begin to move your pelvis back a little bit as well. So your head rolls back, your shoulder rolls back, your head rolls back, and you begin to roll over your ribs in such a way that you can begin to roll the top of the left hip joint back. In other words, in such a way that your left knee begins to become slightly lighter, a little bit lighter from the floor. The weight of your head, the weight of your shoulder, is enough to begin to lift your knee away from the floor. If you take your time and pay attention. That's it, slowly. Leave it to lie on your back and rest for a moment. Lie on your back and just rest. It's not an athletic event. But take a moment and notice how it is that your right arm rests on the floor, your right shoulder, the sensation of your right side on the floor, the latent sense of what side of yourself has been resting on the floor, and what side has been moving. You notice if there's an effect on how it is that your head might move. Roll your head just slightly and notice. Maybe there's a sensation of difference, and you don't even know the difference yet. Just roll your head slightly so that you can sense the ease with which your head moves, right and left, left and right. Come back and lie on your right side. Lengthen your arm, rest your arm, your head on your arm, and this time with your left knee in front, and place your left forearm on the ground as well. And begin to lift your left elbow from the floor. What about your hand, your right hand? Don't forget, all movements are done in such a way that you can sense the fingertips of your right hand touching your thumb. So you continually make this movement. You lift your elbow, and then leave your elbow on the floor, and please lift your left hand and wrist from the floor. It means to lift your wrist as well, so that your forearm comes away from the floor a little bit. That's it. As you lift your wrist and your forearm, what direction is it that your head moves? Does it want to roll backwards or does it want to roll forwards? Lift your elbow. What about your right hand? How do you keep it going? How do you keep this in your attention, this metronome, continuously moving in your attention of opening your hand, bringing your fingertips together and closing your opening your hand, bringing your fingertips apart, closing your hand, and bringing your fingertips together. As your elbow lifts, what direction does your head move? Lift again your forearm in such a way that your wrist and your hand lift. And what direction does your head move? Does your hand become coordinated, the lifting become coordinated with the movement of your right hand? Lift once your hand and your wrist, then lift once your elbow. Alternate, leaving. And notice how it is that your head moves. When does your head want to go back, and when does it come forward? How is your head related to your shoulder and to your ribs as your arm moves? Make it so that you make the movement so that your head moves opposite the direction it is now. If your head was going back as you lifted your elbow, make it so that your head rolls forward when you lift your elbow. Whatever you were doing, make it the opposite. And it's difficult to keep the attention of going from one activity to the next, especially as we make the activities quicker, and still maintain the movement of the fingertips with your right hand. This bell-like movement of forming a bell and opening your hand and closing your hand, and finding how your hand becomes timed to all this. Leave your forearm on the ground and begin to lift your left knee. Lift your left knee and notice when you lifted your knee whether or not you stopped the movement in your right hand, or if you held your breath for a moment, or if you had to make an effort. If you had to stop for a moment and acquire or involve more muscular activity to lift, lift your left foot. Lift your foot. When you lift your foot, in what direction does your head roll? When you lift your knee, what direction does your head roll? How does your head participate in the movement? Lift once your knee, once your foot, rolling your head in the way that it wants to roll. And notice, when you lift your knee, is it such that your head wants to roll forward or back? When you lift your foot, what does it do? Go from one, go to the other. Keep exploring, but change the direction that your head moves. Lift your elbow and lift your knee. Lift your hand and lift your knee. Your left hand and left knee. Lift your left foot and your left hand. Your left knee and your left elbow. Your left hand and left knee. Your left foot and left elbow. Left foot and left elbow. Go slowly so that you make sure that you make the movement as I describe them. Now, begin to make a movement of lifting your left elbow. And just your left elbow. Just your left elbow. And as your left elbow comes down, lift your left hand. And rock back and forth several times. As one comes down, the other begins to come up. Do the same movement with your left lower leg. Lift your knee. And as your knee comes down, when it touches, lift your foot. And go back and forth several times. Now, please lift your left hand, your left wrist, and your left elbow all at the same time. And notice carefully whether you lifted them all at the same time, or whether you dropped, or whether one lifted prior to the other. And when you lower them to the floor, again lower everything so that all of the surface, your hand, your wrist, and your elbow come to rest on the floor at precisely the same moment. Now you see how it is that you have to find a very clear way to stabilize yourself to make it possible to lift with such skill that you can sense the lifting, raise and lower your arm, and still sense whether or not you're accurate in the movement or not. What about your right hand? Now please lift your left lower leg. It means your knee and your foot and your lower leg leave the floor at precisely the same moment, and they come back to the floor at precisely the same moment. And you find out whether or not you're actually making the movement. Did your foot touch first and then your knee? Did your knee touch first and then your foot? What happened? Raise your leg into the air and leave it in the air, and lower your knee to touch. Lift your leg into the air again, lower your foot to touch. Then lift your foot and lower your knee. And keep making this movement smaller and smaller and smaller until you can make the movement almost as if one after the other, so small a difference that you can barely tell whether one came first or the other. Make it smaller. Smaller each time, the knee first, and then the foot, and then the knee, until you can gradually make this movement smaller and smaller and smaller until you can't almost distinguish between which foot, whether your knee or your foot touches first. Go slowly until you can sense. Maybe you can make the movement with such a small bit of difference that it's almost exactly the same. And you gradually reduce the error until you can make it with great precision, raising and lowering your leg in such a way that they both touch the floor and leave the floor at precisely the same moment. It just takes a moment of attention to be able to find this skill and the support to do it. Now, with your leg lifted, keep it in the air, and as it lowers to the floor, lift your forearm away from the floor in such a way that you again pay attention to the quality of the movement. And unfortunately, I have to remind you about that nasty right hand again. Did he get lost in the shuffle there? Yes, of course. Through the whole lesson, it gets to keep going and opening and closing. Because it's... because it teaches to you to inhibit unnecessary actions. As one goes down, the other comes up. As one goes down, the other one's up. So when one is touching down, the other one is up. And they pass each other. And you start to see, that whether you want it or not, you start to find different ways of shifting yourself to a position that will make it more possible for this activity to take place, because no one said anything about whether you had to stay in the same position you're in. It's a question of whether or not what you'll do to find within yourself how to meet the criterion of the lesson. The lesson is very, very specific. What will you do to make the criterion happen? Now please make it so that you lift your forearm and your lower leg and knee at precisely the same moment away from the floor. Your hand, your elbow, your knee, and your foot all leave and lower. Raise and lower from the floor at precisely the same moment. And again, find out whether your right hand stops, whether your breath stops, whether you have to hoist this into the air, or whether it's easy. Now very slowly, lift both your forearm and your leg away from the floor, and very gradually lift higher and higher and begin to roll toward your back, slowly. As if to roll to come to your back, and then slowly come back to lying on your right side. But when you return to your right side, Again, no one place lands prior to the others. You move away from the floor and back toward the floor. Nothing says how you can do this. You can change this in any way that you want to make it so that you can be more accurate. It means that you can change your position on the floor. You can change the distance from your elbow to your knee. You can change where it is that you, how you rest. You can change the surface area that you rely on in any configuration that you want. The only requirement is that you roll away from the floor and return to the floor in such a way that you do it with precision. In other words, it's a little koan. It means for you to start to find within yourself how to meet the criterion, which means how will you find the support that the floor can give you so that this movement can become more and more accurate, greater and greater ease. The criterion, Moshe's criterion, was that we learn to move in such a way that we can move from any position to any other position without hesitation, without having to prepare ourselves, that everything is coordinated in such a way that minimally, there's a minimal tone that keeps us available for action, and our musculature holds within a potent potential to be able to move for our own self-preservation. Roll to your back slowly. One more time, roll all the way to your back, and then roll one last time to your side, bringing your elbow, your hand, your knee, and your foot to the floor at precisely the same moment. And roll back again. And roll onto your back and rest. You can bring your arms to your side, do whatever you want, and pay attention to the difference that you experience with your right hand and your left, your right shoulder and your left, the side that you've been rolling over, the side that's been actively moving. Now, just for a moment, come to stand. Come to stand. So you can explore, just for a moment, how this activity of paying attention to yourself and making these movements, how it's affected your sense of standing in space.
Uh-oh.
Now would be a good time to play golf, wouldn't it? Turn in the way that was easiest for you before and find out if it's still easy. Turn in the other direction and find out if movement has changed in quality. Significant difference. Significant difference. You coordinate it because that's the movement that you've been making, isn't it? You've had to make that movement many, many times, finding the support with your right side and to connect your hip, your knee, your pelvis, your ribs, your head, your back. So you could spend a lifetime in the gymnasium training yourself to become strong and maintain the motor inaccuracies, motor skill inaccuracies, and continue to train those inaccuracies. Yeah? Because you never find the difference. Nothing sets you up to find the difference. Yeah? Here's something significantly different is taking place. Yeah? Because you had to coordinate. You had to utilize the ground in some kind of way where you had to coordinate all this to meet a very precise criterion, which is to move this stuff away from the ground and bring it back to the ground in precisely the same moment. In other words, the lesson required you to gain the skill. Yeah? All right, come and lie on your left side. What, Bob?
Fall down the other way.
We're going to get you so you can fall evenly. I mean, if you're going to, just don't get caught speeding, okay, when you go home. Because if you have to walk the line, you're really going to be in trouble. You can volunteer for the breathalyzer test, though.
If you want to do it straight, you'll be fluid
about it. Exactly. Take your right knee forward, please, so that your right knee rests on the floor. Your right elbow on the floor. Press your right elbow to the floor and lift it. Just your elbow. Press your right hand to the floor and lift it. Press your right knee to the floor and lift it. Just your knee. Yes, you can open and close your left hand for a few moments if you want as you do this. Press your right foot and lift it. Press your left knee in the floor and lift it. Your left knee and lift it. That means leave your left foot on the floor. Your left foot into the floor and lift it. Press your right hand and right foot into the floor and lift them. Press your right knee and your right hand into the floor and lift it. Press your right hand and your head and lift. Press your head and lift. Press your elbow and lift, your right elbow and lift. Press your right elbow and right knee and lift. Press your right foot and right elbow and lift. Press your right knee and your head and lift. Press your ribs into the floor and lift. Press your head and lift. Press your head and your left knee in the floor and lift. Press your left foot into the floor. Press your left foot and your right hand and lift. Press your left hand and lift. Press under your left elbow and under your left elbow and lift. Press under your left armpit and lift. Press your pelvis into the floor and lift. Press your right elbow and lift. Press your right knee. Press your head and lift. Press your head. Press your head and your right foot and lift. Press your hand, press your knee, press your foot. Excuse me, and your head and lift. Your hand, your right hand, your right knee, and your head and lift. And play with this for a few moments. Press anything that you want to. Press different patterns. Just bring your attention quickly from point to point. Press and lift. Press and lift. Press and lift. Quickly shifting your attention from point to point. In other words, randomly, like a baby in one sense, pushing against the floor so that you're in a sense defining yourself. Babies to gain a sense of dimension, front and back, side to side. It takes a long time for them to fixate their eyes so that they can move relative to the world, and so that they can bring their hands together in the midline. So that they're pressing on their back means that their weight, they can learn to hold, to shift their weight and control the weight of their pelvis so that they can roll from position to position. Press your right forearm and lift. Press your forearm and press your head and look to the ceiling. Press your forearm and lift and look to the ceiling. It means your elbow, your hand, everything, and turn to look to the ceiling and come back down slowly. Bring your head and bring your arm back down. Press your knee, press your foot, and lift. Press your whole lower leg and lift. Your whole right lower leg. Press your lower leg and press your head and lift. Press your head and lift. Look to the ceiling with your head. As you look to the ceiling with your head, lift your forearm. Lower your head. Bring your forearm back to the ground. As you lift your head to the ceiling, lift your lower leg. Come back again. As you raise your lower leg, and as you raise your head, then as you lower your head and lower your leg, lift your arm without falling, so that they pass each other. Make the movement several times. Your head and leg lift. As you lower your head and lower your leg, lift your arm, so that you can do this, so that you have to find out that you can balance this one after the other. One is down, the other two are up. One is up, the other two are down. Move your head and your move your head and your arm together and your head opposite. Head and arm together, leg opposite. Head and arm together, leg opposite. That's it. Arm and leg together, head opposite. Simultaneous, still paying attention. Everything leaving at the same moment, everything returning at the same moment. Is it really returning at the same moment? What will it take for you to find that your elbow arrives at exactly the same moment as your foot, your hand at the same moment as your knee, your hand and leg, your hand and arm leave at precisely the same moment as your knee? Press your forearm, press your lower leg, press them both, and then lift. And lift them at precisely the same moment. Bring them back to the floor at precisely the same moment. Roll your head at the same time. Turn everything to look to the ceiling. And come back at precisely the same moment. Continue this movement until you're able to roll all the way towards your back in such a way that you can lift your arm, your leg, and you roll towards your back and then come back again to lie on your side slowly. But everything returns to the floor at precisely the moment. Precisely. Roll to your back and begin to roll to your right side. And when you roll to your right side, your left forearm and left knee will come to the floor at precisely the same moment. Roll so that you can drake the movement, so that you can roll from one position to the other. So that you can roll to your back from one position to the other position, in such a way that no one point leaves the ground before any other point, and no point returns to the ground before any other point. They all come to the ground at precisely the same point. So it means coordinating, bringing your body parts into the action, into the timing, finding the points of support. And as you make the movement, you shift. Your right hand makes the bell movement when you're on the right side, and your left hand makes the bell movement when you're on the left side, so that you have shift. There's a point where you find exactly the middle of the movement, and you shift your hand making the activity, the movement of opening and closing your hand, at whenever the movement goes to the right. Where's the right? The right is built in us. Right and left. It's very different than up and down. People can get confused about up and down, but they'll never be confused about where right and left is. Up and down, you can relate to the external world, but no matter where you are, upside down, right side up, inside out, you'll always be making the movement. You'll always know where right and left are. If you're upside down, the right is still the right. Make the movement smoother and smoother. And make sure that when you end the movement, that your elbow and your hand, and your forearm and your knee and your foot are all resting completely on the floor. Your right knee on the floor in front of your left on one side, your left knee in front of your right leg on the left side. When you're lying on the right side. On the right side. Your left knee, your left elbow, left hand are all on the floor. That's it. Now leave it, please. rest for a moment, lie on your back. Simply rest. Find out what the floor tells you about yourself now. If the floor has become a little bit more supportive, a little bit more intimate. It seems to tell you more about yourself, provide more support for you than it did before. Whether there's a different evenness in the pressure that you experience, the right side and the left side of yourself. Find out if the disposition for turning right or left is as clear as it was before, or is it more available to be able to go one way and then the other, or the other. What do you notice? Is there a difference in the sense of symmetry in function, not necessarily in structure, but the availability in function? We're not symmetrical. You have three lungs and three lobes of your lungs on the right side. You have your heart and two lobes in your lungs on your left side. A heavy liver. The spleen doesn't weigh as much as the liver. Your right side, the internal organs, are heavier than on the left side, or different in the distribution and where they are. So we're not symmetrical. A figure skater who can pirouette around herself and maintain herself spinning on a single point has to do that relative to the fact that her right side and left side is not symmetrical. She finds some way to function, to find some sense of a center line that she's able to turn around herself, even though she's not symmetrical. Yeah. All right, roll to your side, please, and come to standing. Take a moment and explore now if you were to look right and left. Now, Bob, there's that pop.